Hello and welcome to season two of the Atlanta Opera's Blink Opera podcast. I'm Gary Thorwaedo, and I'm excited to conduct Handel's masterwork opera, Julius Caesar, in Atlanta this season. Here's a little bit about my journey to the podium in Atlanta. I was born in LaPorte, Indiana, studied piano at Indiana University with a famous Liszt pianist, Cuban-born virtuoso George Bolet. He played many operatic transcriptions on the piano, and the school was an opera-producing school, and I got the opera bug. Bolet encouraged my love of opera and pointed me to conducting. My first professional job was as associate conductor with the Handel and Haydn Society in Boston, where I was given a very serious baptism in early music, which I knew little about. Since then, it seems I've conducted the entire operatic repertoire at many opera companies and orchestras: the New York City Opera, the Canadian Opera Company, the New York Philharmonic Orchestra, and the Seattle Opera, where I met my good friend Tomer Zvulun, the general and artistic director of the Atlanta Opera. But I've always returned to my real passion, early music. Baroque music is the foundation of all musical styles that follow. Handel wrote Julius Caesar at the height of his operatic fame and power in 1724. I find Handel's choice of subject fascinating. It was prompted by London's obsession with all things Middle Eastern: trade, travel, romanticism, and the romantic images coming out of the Middle East, the thrall of the other. The South Sea Company had risen and spectacularly collapsed. The financially wise Handel had actually made money and gotten out before the collapse. New companies were still exploring trade with the East. People were fascinated with and traveling to this part of the world. It was current news. Handel wrote a series of operas set in the East. He featured the Holy Land in Rinaldo. He went to Turkey with Tamerlano, to India with Alessandro. Turkish opera was an entire musical genre. Europe had continually been besieged by the Turks, and Europeans had continually invaded the Holy Land. Handel's opera was also a tribute to his patron, King George I, showing how an enlightened moral ruler like Julius Caesar or King George I should behave in the face of a bloody tyrant such as Ptolemy, or in the case of George I, the Spanish War of Succession. This opera is political propaganda. Handel knew who buttered his Hanoverian Georgian bread. The East also provided luxuriant stage settings, a favorite aspect of Baroque opera, which will be reflected in our Atlanta production. Julius Caesar has the notoriously opulent pageant of a tableau vivant with an onstage orchestra, with Cleopatra singing one of Handel's greatest arias, "V'adoro pupille," I adore your beautiful eyes. Thank you. She's dressed, ironically, as Virtue, surrounded by musicians dressed as the eight muses. Though Julius Caesar can see her and hear her, he can't reach her. It's seduction at its psychologically most clever. Cleopatra seducing Julius Caesar and Handel seducing us, the audience. Handel was a great psychologist, and in choosing operatic subjects that were in the public's consciousness, he created a bond with the audience. His music has the power to elicit strong emotional responses. Baroque composers regarded musical composition as a science, and they have been proved right, as noted in such texts as This Is Your Brain on Music or The Singing Neanderthals, among many others. It is a way of connecting us mere mortals with the music of the spheres. Handel wrote in scientifically specific ways to activate our senses to feel certain ways. This is science, and you cannot resist its pull. Baroque vocalism is an athletic art. The arias are constructed in a butterfly pattern, like an American popular song, A, B, A. A first verse, a middle contrasting section, and then a return to the first section. It's an opportunity for the singer to ornament the music, just like Ella Fitzgerald, with trills, divisions, dividing one note into two, into three, into eight, and other variations and vocal feats sung much more beautifully than you just heard. Besides showcasing athleticism, the ornaments show insight into the characters and the performer's emotional states. I've been fortunate both to have conducted Julius Caesar and to have been around it often. Tomer and I met during a Julius Caesar in Seattle with the great Polish contralto Eva Podlesz, who was extraordinary, though I feel our Julius Caesar in Atlanta, Daryl Freeman, is built of the same vocal gold. Eva was dedicated to her performance of this virtuosic role, and when she wasn't on stage, she was in her dressing room practicing the next aria. She had sung the role so many times in so many productions all over the world, she would sometimes forget the current staging and say, "Sorry, that was the staging from Barcelona." I've also been fortunate to have conducted an earlier operatic version by a Venetian composer, Antonio Sartorio. Handel used this very same libretto for his version. Julius Caesar and Cleopatra were popular Baroque opera subjects, and let's not forget that the opera that opened the new Metropolitan Opera House was Samuel Barber's Antony and Cleopatra, starring Leontine Price, in 1966. One of my favorite personal moments was as a student at Indiana University, I got to turn pages for Beverly Sills in her recital, as she sang arias from Julius Caesar. We talked about the opera and her role. During the intermission, I confessed that I had copied her ornamentation for singers at Indiana University. She laughed and said that she too had stolen all of her ornamentation from other singers when she was starting out, which is the proven traditional way to learn how to ornament. Handel said the only thing wrong with stealing was not improving on what you had stolen. Let's hear Miss Sills singing some of her beautiful ornamentation. Now, I would love to share with you three of my favorite moments from the opera to get us started. I'll go first to the end of the show, the Sinfonia, which shows Handel at his most celebratory in the coronation scene. Handel wrote the coronation music for the coronation of George II. And it still is the music which is used in every British coronation. It is bold, lively, and dance-like. In our next selection, a colorful orchestral recitative, as opposed to recitative accompanied only by the harpsichord, Julius Caesar, in a private moment, muses on the meaning of life. Shakespeare did the same thing often in his monologues, such as to be or not to be. The shifting harmonies like clouds and halos in Renaissance paintings reflect Julius Caesar's feelings and deeper emotions. With eloquent text, as the poet references Shakespeare, quotes the Bible, and Julius Caesar exposes his innermost feelings. Now, a spoiler alert. The opera ends happily with Julius Caesar and Cleopatra triumphant. She sings brilliantly in the aria Da Tempeste about the joy of a ship coming safely into harbor after enduring life-threatening storms. We'll hear two snippets, one unornamented, from the first time around, and then the same music, but from the return in the da capo to the head of the aria, this time ornamented. I hope you've enjoyed learning more about George Frederick Handel and his masterpiece. I'm Gary Thor Wado, the conductor for the Atlanta Opera production of Julius Caesar. Thank you all for joining me on the Atlanta Opera podcast, Blink Opera.